Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Beautiful in the state of Pennsylvania, Trevor, where we have topped out at around 40 degrees the last couple days. And let me tell you,
brother,
you have an appreciation for 40 degrees up in this part of the country. I'm telling you, if you were to live up here for a little while, it would open your eyes. You would all of a sudden start to understand how beautiful 40 degree temperatures can be. And then you would go back to Florida and you would never be disappointed, even on the worst days there. Wouldn't that be nice?
I mean, I kind of already am because I went to Indy for a week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that'll get you. Indy's it's colder than where I am, I think.
I mean, it was 9 degrees when we walked out our house that one day.
Yeah, it was bad. It was not good in Indy.
Thankfully, hey, trust me, I walked off the plane, got back in Florida and said, I'm never leaving.
Next year.
Y'all can Skype me in to the draft this year. I'm not leaving.
Wait, what about Nashville? Nashville's
not
cold. No,
I'm not leaving my house.
Well, jeez. Took this to real new extremes.
Let's talk about backyard. You could set up the draft. Goodell's got it. You could just walk up to the mic.
Tampa would be a good location for it, to be honest, wouldn't it?
Would Tampa be a good location for it?
I think it would, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tampa's awesome.
Beautiful.
They need to do that. All these cold places, man, like, don't get me wrong, I like being in Indy. I really do, but I don't know, man. I'm not trying to go west either and be on that time frame. Like, I'm trying to stay east. But Florida, Tampa, that'd be a great choice. I'm sending Goodell an email right now. All right. Let's talk safety class. We got requests for it. We've actually gotten requests for it for weeks. People love the safety class, and not the players necessarily, but they love hearing about the safety class because they always want to know which player is their type, right? Like, we grade safeties, all of them kind of together. And really what people want to know is, okay, well, my team, you know, we don't need, we have Demarius Randall. We don't need a free safety. We need a strong safety. We need somebody who's going to play in the slot, somebody who can play in the box, somebody who can blitz. Like, those are the kind of guys we need. So, like, who fits us in Cleveland? You know, like, who doesn't fit us in Cleveland? And so on and so forth.
Glad you're using us. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking for Cleveland. I'm speaking for our city.
Of course, yeah. You know? Our Browns.
So let's start with the guy that may fit in Cleveland, Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State. Late first round buzz. I don't see that, but I watch his tape and I see super physical, super violent, super aggressive. Didn't test amazing or anything. I think he did end up, he like ran in the 4.5s and then they adjusted his 40 and it was like 4.45. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So, speed wasn't an issue for him on tape. I think he didn't do the agilities, and that was the big concern. I think people think he's a little bit stiff, but I mean, I think his tape is fine, but the problem is
he's an athletic hitter though, you know?
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah. I mean, he plays around the box. He doesn't do a lot in coverage. He can match up in man a little bit, you know, with certain types, but he's not going to match up with quicker slot receivers. There are things to like about Abram, how physical he is. He also misses a lot of tackles, which are something to be concerned about. So you kind of get both ends of the spectrum with Abram. I thought he was better this past season than the year before. But first round buzz, man, like, don't you need like some ball production or something? I mean, this guy, what, he's a one pick in like his whole career at Texas A&M or Mississippi State? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I just need some splash playability.
I don't know, man. From the way that we've seen free agents get signed, like these box safeties, apparently the NFL values them. Maybe they value him enough to be a first round pick. I don't know. I probably wouldn't take Abram with a first round pick just because, yeah, I mean, like, I like him. I like his upside a lot. He's obviously a really hyper athletic guy. He'll lay the wood on you too, and I love his mentality. God, what was the quote at the combine? What did he say?
He was talking about
big hits. Like, John Abram was talking about laying big hits, and I asked him about it and his like mentality for it. And he's like, yeah, I was having this conversation with my wife. And my wife was like, if I'm not out there hitting like Bobby Boucher, then what am I doing? Like, right. Bobby Boucher from like Waterboy. So that's his mentality as a safety. Yeah. So that'll tell you everything you need to know.
And that's how he plays. There's no doubt he brings that to your defense. Yeah, he brings that. He brings physicality. He brings an edge. Some people would say culture guy. All that's true. But to me, I just need like, what do you give me on passing downs? So he can blitz a little bit. Okay, I can get behind that. I think he can match up with tight ends, although TJ Hawkinson got him pretty good. I think he has that ability, but there's nothing special about his skill set in coverage. And he doesn't make splash plays in the ball. So those two big limitations for me, I would be really hesitant to take him in the first round or even the second round. I have him graded in the third round right now. I don't know about you where you kind of fall on him right now, but to me, I don't see enough of an impact in coverage to get excited about him in the range that it sounds like the league is excited about him.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, like, who are some other?
Oh, there's like, tons. Let's just,
so yeah. All right. So, okay. Who are some other names?
So I'm just going to bring them up because I know you haven't seen him, but I have to mention him. Mike Bell from Fresno State has awesome tape. PFF also graded him really well. I was curious to get their draft guide because I hadn't heard many people talking about him. And I was like, man, I really like Mike Bell. His tape's really good. Like, I watched like 5-6 games waiting to get what was the issue? What was the problem with Mike Bell? And I couldn't find him, man. He made tons of plays on the ball. He had tons of interceptions. And they were impressive plays too. And so I was super impressed with him. He does miss some tackles here and there. That's almost every safety. And he makes a lot of tackles too. I mean, he wasn't just, you know, hanging back. This is a guy that gets in there and participates as a tackler. So you're going to miss a couple when you play that way as well. But I was pumped about him. And then, yeah, he went out to the combine and he tested absolutely horrendous. So that'll kind of bring you back to, like, I mean, he ran 4.83, jumped 30 inches.
So then what do you do? What do you do with him, right? Yeah. Because this is a defensive back is such a position that you have to be athletic. Some aspects of defensive back you can get away with it a little bit less, but
yeah, I mean,
it's not that bad. I'm gonna look it up right now.
And he's 6'2", oh, it's ugly, brother. We talked about it on one of the podcasts, I think, right after. It's ugly, but yeah, it's terrible. The mock draft the web is bad.
He's gonna be a 1 percentile.
Yeah.
And it's 1% 40-yard dash.
Yeah, and the tape is so good.
2% vertical jump. No, John, no.
So you can't take him until, like,
what are we doing?
You can't take him, you know, until like mid to late day three. Special teams.
And then he's got a 5% bench press. So this guy's slow and weak.
I mean, and he's 6'2", 210. Like,
what are you doing?
I don't think he can bulk and play linebacker, and even if he does, he's a slow linebacker.
No, I think Mike Bell's a linebacker.
Brother, he's still 4.83 as a 210-pound linebacker. If you put 20 more pounds on this guy, he's going to be running 5.33. He's going to be an offensive tackle. I'm telling you, you can't do it. He's a safety. He's just, you hope he plays faster than he tests, and he does on tape. Like, that's where I keep coming back to, is that his tape is good. I mean, like, not even amazing or anything like that, but just good tape. Like, he doesn't look like a bad athlete on tape. He just doesn't. So, yeah, it's frustrating. But he's one of those guys, again, where the situation kind of is like, I liked him as a day two safety. Then he tests like a guy who shouldn't be drafted, and you're like, okay, well, it just might not translate. Like, you have to figure out where you're going to take risks. And Bell could have played all over. He played in the box. He was good there. He played deep. He wasn't a single high guy, but he played deep and made plays in coverage. Hardly ever played man coverage, though, and he told me that again in Indy as well. So, you know, I loved what I saw, but at the end of the day, I can't take that risk on an athlete that bad, high in the draft. So we'll see what cleans up at his pro day. I'm curious to just see the contrast. You know, things will be better, but
what if it goes like total opposite?
What if it's worse?
Not like total
5.03.
No, geez, man, come on. I'm trying to help the guy out, and you're just trying to kick him when he's down.
If he runs like 4.53, even.
Yeah.
After running a 4.83, that would be a huge difference.
Would you be just straight back on the train?
No.
You be like the conductor? Would you put on your conductor hat? Would you be shoveling that hot coal straight into the engine?
I couldn't be. I couldn't. This was bad. I mean, like, this was horrible, man. 30. Yeah, what would he would have to jump in the vertical. And almost everybody improves their vertical at their and that one you really can't fudge, I don't think, anyway. You know, so you kind of, what you get for your verticals, what you get, but everybody kind of improves the more they practice junk. My thing with Mike Bell is did you train? Like, you know, that's my concern. When a guy tests this bad and didn't look like a bad athlete on tape, my first concern is always, how hard did you really train for the biggest interview of your life? Because across the board, every event, it didn't look like he did. So, yeah, that's my concern with Mike Bell. Okay, Marquise Blair. I know, I'll touch on him really quickly because not a lot of people care about Marquise Blair. But crazy statistics from Pro Football Focus. And again, if you haven't gotten Pro Football Focus's draft guide, it is unbelievable, folks. The aesthetic, unbelievable. It's
beautiful.
The information you can't get anywhere else. It's really good recorded statistics and information that are so helpful to me. Because, you know, you want to have some context for guys that you're watching. And I watched Marquise Blair. I watched three games, and I was just like, does this guy ever get thrown at? Like, I was so frustrated. And this was back before the Senior Bowl. I didn't have any of these numbers, and the guy didn't come out yet. So I looked when I got the guide, and I was like, how often did this guy get thrown at? 7 times, Trevor. In 792 snaps, he got thrown at. 7 times.
What, are they just afraid? I don't. Just fear? Just straight fear?
So he played in the box a lot. So he was in kind of like a zone coverage role a good bit. But like still, I mean, you still get targets in zone coverage. So like still could have been thrown at and just wasn't. I mean, the guy was not thrown at. Now, he gave up 5 catches on that. So, and one of them was a touchdown. So that doesn't look great. He also doesn't make any plays on the ball, really. I think he had one interception. But again, he is almost always around the line of scrimmage. So there isn't like those deep safety ball hawk opportunities for him either. He hardly gave up any separation when I saw him in coverage. So I was like, okay, I'm excited about this guy. And then there's one game they put him single high, like a lot of the game, and he looked rangy and he moved well. And then he jumped 35 inches, had a really good broad jump, ran 4.48. I thought he was good at the Senior Bowl as well. I thought he had a really solid week. So yeah, I like a lot of things about, he plays super fast and physical. That's his game. And he ran well. So that matches up too. I'm curious to see his agility.
In this safety class, I think he's like right there. You just explained a guy that I would take a chance on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would take a chance. I would draft him late round three somewhere. Yeah, I would. I know a lot of people have him in day three and that's probably where I'll go, but I like him. I like the way he plays the game. I think his best football's ahead of him. All right, who else you want to talk about here? We got a ton of safeties on the docket to talk about to kind of let people know their best fit. Do you want a real quick word for your boy Dakota Dixon? I know he's not going to go high, but really good run defender.
I love Dakota. I think he's a great dude. He's such a hard worker. I mean, Dakota Dixon is going to be a guy who you like because of the intangibles. I think he's going to be a dude who you draft super late on day three. I mean, he's a 5'9". What, like a 204
pounds,
right? 5 pound linebacker. I mean, like 5'9" is about in the lowest percentile you can get. He's just not athletic, so he's small and athletic. But,
dude was around,
yeah. I mean, he was around the program a ton at Wisconsin. You know, people have praised him for his leadership. He's such a great dude on and off the field, and he'll be a special teams a stud for you, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think that you're going to want Dakota Dixon really starting in any games because you're going to have to be so scheme limited when he is in the game. Everybody right. else is going to have to picking up little things around him to kind of make up for it. But Dakota Dixon is somebody that I would absolutely have on my roster and could make a solid NFL career as a guy who makes it as a special teamer. So that's kind of what I think of Dakota Dixon. I love him, dude. Little intangible thing. We were over by the bench press when the safeties were going. Something I love to notice about things like that, and I talk about this when we're going into the combine. The combine is so useful for me because it's an experience, though you can test for it in certain ways. You can go through certain simulations of, kind of like a mock interview with a team or what it's going to be like when you get in front of the media, all those kinds of stuff. It truly only happens once. Right. You know, like live bullets, if you will, only happen once at this combine. And you really do get a good idea, I think, of who these guys are naturally as themselves. And when we were over by the bench press with the safeties, Dakota Dixon was like the loudest, most encouraging dude for everybody, just hyping everybody up, helping everybody out, just like making them feel like it's their day, like all this. Like that's a dude that you want on the back end of your team, man, because team building in the NFL is top to bottom. But if anywhere it's messed up, It can become toxic in a locker room, and any time that it shines, it can really start to turn a locker room around. And Dakota Dixon is a dude who I'd love to have on my NFL team.
Yeah, there are not many safeties who succeed running 4.8, but he is going to be a hard cut in training camp for the reasons that you just mentioned. Okay, Mike Edwards from Kentucky. This is kind of Dakota Dixon might be your guy that like you talk, and I can't really stand with Mike Bell anymore because
was Mike Edwards the guy who when you ask people at the Senior Bowl who hits the hardest?
Yes.
Did they say Mike Edwards?
No, I asked Mike Edwards which one of the guys in the secondary for Kentucky
oh.
hit the hardest. And Lonnie Johnson and Darius West were sitting with him. He said Darius West hits the hardest. So, but all everybody on that tape team has like a couple huge hits. Like even Lonnie Johnson, who I thought his tape was bad, like he has a couple big hits from this past season. And Derek Beatty had some unbelievable like bubble screen, like coming up and crushing people. So the corners had maybe the biggest hits on tape. Edwards is a pretty good tackler, but not really a big hitter. I didn't honestly see West have a big hit, but he is a pretty physical player, so it doesn't surprise me. But man, I like Edwards. And again, I know we're going to Pro Football Focus's stuff a lot here because I'm kind of scrolling through and looking at some of the numbers that they have for some of these guys. But he was thrown at a good bit, so you get to see him kind of in coverage a good bit. He does give some stuff up. There's no question. He just scraps. We're talking about a day three guy who competes. And what I like about him, he can play a little bit of deep safety if you need him to. He's not the biggest guy, but he's big enough where you feel 5'10", 205. You know, he works hard to max out his frame, I think. He didn't do any testing at the combine, but I think he does have enough range where you can play him deep, and he's made some plays on the ball deep that you can like him there. He also will play in the slot, and he's a terrific run defender off the edge, terrific around the box. Again, not the biggest dude, but was really, really good around the box this past season for Kentucky. So, and really cut down on his missed tackles. He still misses too many tackles because he is a smaller guy, but he really cut down on his missed tackles this past season. So I'm a fan of Mike Edwards on day three because I know you're getting a special team stud and you're getting a versatile backup safety who can fill a lot of roles, wear a lot of different hats if you need him to. There's always going to be some limitations there, but I do like his game, and I think that he can be a successful NFL player despite being a little bit small and, frankly, not an unbelievable athlete either. So there's my case for Mike Edwards. If your team needs a safety day three, draft him.
Do we want to talk about the division between what seems to be most of draft analysts and then your opinions on Juan Thornhill?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I feel like people in general,
I feel like a lot of people look at Juan Thornhill. They can look at his tape of his takeaways and they can look at all the stats he had. Like, dude had 13 takeaways in his career. That's super impressive. So I think a lot of people look at that and just associate the interceptions to ball skills. But like, what are you, I know you have you're kind of saying like pump the brakes on all those interceptions, or am I wrong there?
I would say some of them were easy. I mean, you're not getting that many picks unless some of them are easy anyway. But I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, for Juan Thornhill, a lot of those came a corner, which is interesting part of his evaluation too, because he did test really well, but then he didn't do the agility. So it depends on how much you factor that in. But like, our team's going to want him. You know, he's been, I think Ben Fennell was comparing him to Byron Jones, who now is back at corner and played really well this past season back at corner and was okay at safety.
Yeah, but Byron Jones was a freak athletically.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so was Juan. Juan had the second best broad jump ever, right?
Only he did. Byron Jones.
Yeah, so, I mean, vertical jump 44 inches.
I was like, no, Juan Thornhill like had a good day, but it wasn't that good of a day. Then you said that, and yeah. I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. I remember us talking about Byron Jones. Yeah, he had a 99th percentile broad jump, a 99th percentile vertical jump, and a 92th percentile 40-yard dash. Damn. All right.
Yeah, he absolutely lit up the combine, no question about it. And honestly, I don't see that level of athleticism on tape, but I knew he tested well in their like summer program or whatever, so I knew he was going to be a really good athlete. Not quite this good, but I didn't see that level of explosiveness or athleticism on tape. Really just kind of a one-speed player. He doesn't play fast, you know, like even though I have concerns about Deontay Thompson, for example, like Thompson just plays so fast all the time. He's always kind of flying around, buzzing everywhere, and that's really just not Thornhill's game. Like, he's not super physical or intense in his play demeanor. I definitely do see the comparisons in some ways to Byron Jones. Neither are super physical guys, but both were really versatile guys. Like, they could play around line of scrimmage if you needed them to. They're just not like not Jonathan Abram in their demeanor. I don't think that means they're soft. I just think it means they're not like Jonathan Abram in their demeanor. So there's a little bit more of a finesse to their game in some ways. So he has given up splash plays and he has taken the ball away. There's a little bit of both with him. I did think a lot of those throws right to him, but he does position himself well. He's smart. I just don't see he doesn't play like this fast, intense, at this fast, intense speed.
But it's there.
That I would like. Yeah. And I don't, like, hate Juan Thornhill or anything. I think he's a third-round player for me right now. You know, and he tested great, so that probably, I didn't look at his grade, but I bet that bumped him. You know, he's probably still in he's probably like early third now for me. And I'm going to go back and look at his tape after those combine scores and look at a couple different games. But yeah, I've seen five games of him, I think, and I watched a ton of Virginia because I was like obsessed with Bryce Hall before he decided to go back. And I think for one, it's going to be like, can you make like that play speed? Doesn't happen for you in college. In the NFL, it's going to have to happen. And I don't know that he can really will be able to crank that up and do that. Not that he can't start in the NFL. You know, it's still a star game. I just think you're going to be a little more up and down. And you already were kind of in college, although he did improve this past season. I think there's some up and down to his play. And the thing that troubled me, too, is that he plays around the line of scrimmage a lot for Virginia. He's very versatile in his usage, but he really isn't a very good run defender. And he really isn't that great of a tackler either. Like, he's not like a big hitter or anything. It'll take a village sometimes to bring down the guy he first engages, and he's a big safety. I think that's something to consider with him, but certainly a good player.
I'm sorry, using that as like a running back terminology.
Takes a village to get him down on the ground.
Yeah.
Elijah Holyfield takes a village to get him down.
Yeah.
Doesn't take anybody to catch him, but
right. No, the village will get there. But it'll take all of them to get them down.
So there's my Thornhill thoughts. A lot of other safeties want to touch on rapid fire as we're going through here. But, I mean, to me, I think one of the most interesting guys in the class is Malik Gant from Marshall. Super physical. Yeah. He graded unbelievable for PFF, by the way. This guy hardly gave up anything all season long. Now you have to consider level of competition as well. Walk on, earned his spot, earned a scholarship. Took like 2 years, I think, to earn his scholarship. Earned a spot, earned everything, like hardly gave up anything. Like there's hardly any negative plays on tape of him, like getting beaten coverage or anything. Like he just really rock solid player. Really assignment sound, super physical dude, like flies up to the line of scrimmage, will fly through trash and pop running backs. And he matched up in man coverage against NC State when they played him, and he played one of his best games against NC State. So, you know, again, going back to level of competition, When the lights were the brightest, he kind of played his best football. The downside is he tested horrible. 4.6, 340, 34.5-inch vert. I mean, it wasn't Mike Bell bad, but it just wasn't
good. I was going to say, could be worse.
Right, exactly. And the agilities were bad. You know, it wasn't what you wanted. So, you know, 5'11", 210, I think he's going to be a dime safety. I think he's going to match up with tight ends in the slot. I think he's going to play in the box.
That's okay.
I think he's going to be your third safety. Yeah, that's absolutely. Right. I think there's a role for him. So, I'm a fan of him. All right, let's get to the big name guys.
Hold on, sorry. My guy lower down on the list who I really like is Ugo Amadi. I like Amadi.
Yeah, good choice.
Big fan. Dude can flip his hips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like very few other safeties in this class and even defensive backs can. I mean, the dude is smooth as it gets, and I really did like the high moments of him on tape, and I'm drafting that guy somewhere in day three and seeing how many of those high points I can get out in the NFL. I really do like him.
Yeah.
I like him as like a dime. I like him a lot as a dime player.
I think he's a slot corner, to be honest.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I think that's probably his best usage. But certainly reminds me of what's his name? KZ from Atlanta, because there's that little ability to play deep safety, and then you can step into the slot when you need to as well. And there's that flexibility, I think, with guys like that. So reminds me a little bit of him. Taylor Rapp, man, we are all over the place as a staff on Taylor Rapp, aren't we? I think Ben really likes him. I like him. I don't love him, but back 12 guy. Kyle doesn't like him at all. And my biggest concern with Taylor Rapp is that there is just not, like, in terms of ball production or splash plays, there is just really so little with him. And there really has been for 2 years. In 2016, he was like a rotational guy. He was like their third safety. He played. He grabbed two picks. They were nice plays. I think he might have returned one for a touchdown. He made some splash plays. And then the last 2 years has just been nothing. And the role hasn't really changed. The dude just hasn't. I mean, he just hasn't made a lot of plays in the ball. He also is hardly ever thrown at. So that made his tape frustrating to watch. 18 targets this past season. Gave up 8 catches for just 53 yards. So, mm-hmm. I mean, hardly any opportunities.
He can beat. Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, when he's a deep safety, this guy is deeper than the deepest. And he doesn't line up deep. I'm not talking about Greg Williams putting you on Mars type of deal. I'm just saying he loses a ton of ground off the snap. He just, that's his way. That's his, the way he plays. He hardly lets anybody behind him, and he hardly makes any plays on the ball in front of him. He's just kind of conservative in the way that he plays it. The best tackler in the draft, any position, not even a question. PFF has him at 2 missed tackles this past season. Dude just doesn't miss. It's unbelievable mm-hmm. to watch. He's an outstanding tackler and finisher in the open field. Agility's off the charts.
Where would you draft him, though?
I honestly, right now, I have like an early third down round grade on him.
See, like, which, that's the thing. Like, I would also, I mean, I would have also said that I'd draft Taylor Rapp somewhere on day 2. He's probably going to end up being a second round pick. And I'm okay with that just because, like you said, like a lot of the consistency things and the intelligence things, because playing safety is a lot about above the shoulders. I mean, we yeah. like we love that. We love to emphasize how much of an athlete you are, how you run, what you can be in single high, how much range you have, because that ultimately affects, you know, of course, whether the ball is going to get thrown your way too. But even if it does, how far, how much you can go up and get the ball. I mean, that was, remember Malik Hooker's thing when he was at Ohio State, is that he was so far away that people threw the ball up to him, and he was able to get over there and get picks from it. So that's why he was valued so much. That's why a lot of other ball hawking single high safeties are. But like you kind of said, Taylor Rapp's not exactly that. But there's another side to playing safety, is when you are that back end defender, when you do have everything in front of you, when you need to be able to see and analyze and anticipate, that's an important part of playing safety. It's not going to be necessarily an important part of safety for every scheme, because some schemes are just going to love athletes. Like, they're going to want an athlete to play single high and be super rangy, and then they're going to want their other safety to be super physical or aggressive and play in man coverage or up in the box or something like that. And that's just going to be like the aggressive scheme split that they have. But other teams, like if you play quarters, if you play too high a lot, like yeah. this guy is somebody who could be really valuable for you. Now, you don't take him in the first round, I don't think, even with his consistencies, because I'm not, you know.
What's the splash play? Like, what's.
Right, like, he wasn't that explosive. He's got a 16% broad jump, 42 vertical jump, and I don't right. even think he ran the 40-yard dash, right?
Right.
I mean, yet. He's not super strong. He's not super big. So this is a guy that kind of, like, on paper, if you will, you might be always looking to replace.
Well, the frustrating thing is that he's hardly ever in man coverage. Which he has great agility, but you never like.
So then
or he has untapped ability in man coverage that Washington didn't choose to show, and he's going to dominate there because he has the traits. I guess it's such a technical thing. You know what I mean? You can have great traits, but the technique of playing in man coverage a lot requires repetition and requires practice. And I have no idea. I just didn't see
it. But like in man coverage, like. Again, he's like not super explosive, so
he is.
I know he's quick.
He's very like, safe. He's a very safe player. I just don't know that you're gonna get high end impact
like,
from him.
But like, so like, what? But like, who's he guarding in man coverage
in the NFL?
Yeah,
I don't know. So like, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're basically like, it's like you're guarding. Like, I guess, you know, for an example, you're guarding the Adam Humphreys of the world, right? If you're Taylor Rapp and everybody else is basically a mismatch against you, you know?
Tight ends, probably, more likely.
But you can't put this guy up against a tight end.
I mean, what?
He's got below 30th percentile in every single measurement.
You mean physically? Yes. I'm okay with that. I think
he's just going to get big boy, dude.
He's not that small. How big was he? 5'11", 208. He's good for a safety. He's fine. It's
literally 28th percentile.
He just didn't have long arms.
Arm length and wingspan are also small. So, like, that matters, though.
You're
talking about short separation with guys.
My thing with him is I just don't know if he can do it because I've never seen it. I haven't seen it on tape. I haven't seen whether he can do it or not. So that's what makes him a hard even in terms of projecting.
I drafted him in the second round. I'm saying all that. I drafted the dude in the second round because he's super smart, and I think that he has the ability to pick up on some nuances that are new in the NFL to what we see at Washington. But
I think he's in my top 50, even though I have an early third round grade on him.
Like I said, depending on how he develops, I don't know if this is a guy that I'm always going to be like, yeah, we like Taylor Rapp. Right. But we're always looking to see if we could potentially upgrade. You know, you never want to invest a second round pick, a top 50 pick, in a guy that you go, yeah, we like him, but we're always looking to upgrade.
I don't know if it'll be that dire of a situation. I think he comes in, he locks down a starting spot. I just don't know if it's like, you know, you have to, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's going to come in. He's going to lock down a starting spot. He's not going to get beat. So teams are going to love that. I just don't think he's going to be like a creator for you, like a special player in that way. But I love to have him on my team. No question. I think he helps any football team in the country, to be honest. I just don't know if that's a high-end impact type of guy. So one guy that made huge high-end impact, Darnell Savage. I mean, this guy in Maryland, talk about some tape, man. He has some unbelievable closing bursts on the ball. I think he could play nickel corner in the NFL. He doesn't miss many tackles right now, but at the same time, he doesn't get guys on the ground confidently. I think he's physical enough to play in the slot, though. Smart football player. He will get caught with his eyes in the backfield at times, though, and get a little bit over-aggressive. That's his playing style. You kind of got to live with it. Difficult player to pinpoint a value for, really. He's just behind Rapp for me in my rankings, I believe. Again, there's a splash play ability. He also let guys behind him way too often, and there were some really troubling moments on tape. So way more inconsistent, way more boom or bust, in my opinion, than Taylor Rapp, but the highs are higher. Like his four or five best players from this past season with Savage are really good. Really good stuff. So, and the versatility is clearly there because he plays man coverage and plays it really, really well. So maybe he's not a safety and maybe he's just a nickel corner. I'd be completely fine with that. I think he can fill that role and play really well. So okay, Thompson, real quick before we wrap up, Thompson and Gardner Johnson. We talk about Adderley all the time on the podcast. People know we love him, but your thoughts on Thompson? You still bullish on him? His pro day is today, by the way. You may be listening to this as Deontay Thompson runs his 40.
I don't know what his pro day is going to be because he literally did nothing in Indianapolis because of the hand injury. I will say that, like, Deontay seems super quiet. He seems like a super quiet dude.
Chirps on the field, man. Super aggressive on the field.
Yeah. Which is, I don't really. You know what I think about Deontay Thompson.
You want to like him.
The high points of Deontay Thompson are some of my favorite tape in the entire class.
Right.
But, like, I cannot deny the fact that his last month of football was terrible.
I don't think he played bad against Clemson at all. I just watched the game, all 22. I thought he made, like, one. He slipped on the one coming up to make the tackle, but it wasn't even.
Okay, but, like, that's on him.
Yeah, but I just think that's like
on him.
I think that's, like, a once-in-a-blue-moon type of scenario. Like, I didn't see a lot of issues with him in that regard. Like, I mean, not that I think he's a great player. Like, I'm really curious to see what he runs. I've never seen a dude, and I tweeted this.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Thompson because I'm either going to put my stake in the ground like I'm caping for this guy. And I'm truly going to buy into, I think, what he does well, or if I'm just going to get super nervous about it.
Oh, but, I mean, I'd be nervous about him in some ways, but at the same time, like, I really don't think he gave up what a lot of people think he gave up toward the end of that season. Like, the season, like, there were, like, he got blamed for a touchdown against Clemson that is not on him whatsoever. So I at the same time, there are limitations here to be concerned about. I definitely am concerned about what he runs. I think it's super important because there's times in pursuit he just cannot get to guys. But then from the top down, he looks fast. He's very difficult to evaluate on tape in that way. I love that he's a willing run defender. I'm a really big fan of that. Deep safety, dude, who has not hesitate to fill whatsoever.
Yeah.
Dude will come up and hit. Now he does miss some tackles, but I thought it was more under control.
Because he's like 190 pounds, unless he throws everything he has at you.
Yeah, there was a quote in Lance Zierlein's report on him from an NFC executive or whatever, and he was like, watch the Ole Miss game. He goes flying across the middle, pummels somebody, forces a fumble. He was like, and I was like, oh, great, this is a really positive quote about Thompson. I love it. And then the guy was like, I'm just not sure his body can hold up if he dishes out those kind of hits in the NFL. So,
I mean,
you want him to play softer? Like,
you don't want him to play softer, but, like, Deontay, and I wrote this early on in the season, and part of my five play about him, his first five play prospect I ever did, like, you love that he is willing to hit, but he is literally, like,
he's 195.
Reckless abandon sometimes because he knows he has to throw every ounce of his body weight at a guy to get him down.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, he's slight. There's no doubt about it. But I still like his tape. I'd still take him in the second round. Single high free safety all day. Not super versatile like some of these other guys. But at the same time, there's traits there that are definitely worth working with. Now, if he runs great. If he doesn't run great, he's definitely going to fall in the third round for me because he is not high enough in the second round to save himself from a bomb. If he bombs his pro day, I'm going to drop him. There's no doubt about it. Okay, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to wrap things up. Plays in the nickel, plays free safety, plays strong safety. Where do you want him?
Nickel corner.
I think I want him at free safety. I really do.
No,
I think
I
I want
want
him
him.
free safety.
I want Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to be my ultimate mismatch neutralizing player. I want him to get super physical with small slot corners, and I want him to go toe to toe with some of these bigger tight ends that teams try to get cheeky with to play out in space. I think Gardner-Johnson can neutralize a lot of different, and even like wide receiver ones that some teams will move into space. I mean, we've seen teams like Atlanta do that with Julio Jones, and like Cincinnati does it with AJ Green. Like, that's somebody who, if you've got your best cornerback, because teams obviously do all that, because sometimes a team might have a really great outside corner, but that outside corner may be good coverage on the outside, but they're not comfortable in space. I am cool with drafting Gardner Johnson to be this really great mismatch piece, or mismatch neutralizing piece, to where as teams try to play chess with you and move these guys around, I can just say, okay, Chauncey, you are guarding this guy if he's in the slot, or you are guarding this guy if he's a... So that's why I want him as a nickel corner, and that's where I think that he could have the best value for what he can do well as an all-around dude with size and athletic ability.
Yeah, I'm completely 100% down with him in the nickel. I would just also like to see him be able to play free safety too, because I thought, even though his tackling got torn apart, and rightfully so, in 2017, he was terrible in that regard. And he did improve in 2018. But I thought he made a lot of plays on the ball in 2017 as a deep safety. He really, honestly, he impressed me. I thought in coverage he was really, really good in that regard. I know numbers-wise he hardly gave up anything as well. I think 11 catches, 136 yards is what PFF has him for in 2017. So I just thought he did a really, really good job in deep coverage. He has that kind of range. He has those kind of ball skills that you see in flashes. I'm excited about him. I think his best football is ahead of him, and I think he started to realize that in 2018. So lots of good safeties in this class. Hopefully we gave you a good kind of look at how some of them may best fit in the NFL and what their role may best look like at the next level. We'll continue to break down some of the classes like this and look at the different position groups throughout the rest of the week. Even we'll have really good content and talk about some of that stuff as well, rolling through all the way to Friday. Tomorrow night we're on live on Twitch, or tonight, I'm sorry, tonight we're live on Twitch, doing Wednesday's podcast, taking questions, all kinds of fun stuff like we always do. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.